This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Why is the number of evictions in Hamilton County so much higher than the national average? 12,000 notices are sent out in the county each year, 33% more than what the nation sees on average. Now, two local organizations are working to ease that situation. A series of information sessions on renters' rights is underway, with one coming up this evening. And joining Cincinnati Edition to discuss the Eviction Prevention Assistance Program are Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency President and CEO Mark Lawson. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
And Legal Aid Society of Southwest Ohio staff attorney Alpha Taylor. Welcome, Alpha.
Thanks for having us.
Join our conversation, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those in the show as well. 12,000 evictions here, 33% higher than the national average. Where does that data come from?
So as you said, Michael, we are in the midst of a national crisis in evictions all across the United States. And here in Hamilton County, it is 33 or 34% higher. And that's pretty terrible. And that's just from the census numbers. I'm pretty sure that's where the number comes from. But we see about 30,000 people coming through CAA every year. And a ton of those are for evictions and being behind on rent.
Is that what's causing the evictions? Is that people are just behind on their rent money?
I mean, there are various reasons why a landlord may file an eviction, but one of the primary reasons why a landlord files eviction is due to non-payment of rent. So, but there are other reasons. Specifically, sometimes a tenant may have a conditions issue in the property, or the landlord probably didn't make repairs, or maybe the tenant have overstayed the tenancy. So there are various reasons, but the number one reason why landlord files eviction is due to non-payment of rent.
And that's what I was wondering ahead of this segment is that, you know, we might have some people listening to this and thinking, well, you know, you don't get evicted unless you're not paying your rent, or maybe you're not following the property's rules, or maybe you've become a nuisance in the eyes of the law or neighbors. So what are we missing in our understanding of these people facing eviction? Is there something that we need to be more understanding about why these folks are not able to meet their rent expectations?
Now, you got to understand that there are legal defenses to an eviction. Just because a tenant misses a rent, a one-month rent, does not necessarily mean that the landlord is automatically entitled to an eviction. There are defenses to an eviction. There are cases where a tenant may be late on the rent, but the landlord probably may accept the rent after giving the notice of after filing the eviction itself. In that case, the tenant has a defense because the landlord is not supposed to accept a rent after giving a 3-day notice or after filing the eviction itself. So, each case is different, but, I mean, that's what this program is about, trying to give tenants the opportunity to avoid going to an eviction court in the first place. And then even if that happens, legal aid will provide legal representation to eligible tenants in case an eviction has been filed.
I've seen some varying statistics on this. A lot of reports have come out about eviction problems or the high number of evictions taking place in metro areas all across the country. So it is a topic across the nation. But I have seen conflicting reports and databases, and it may just be that some of them look at Cincinnati specifically and then others take into account the whole metro area. I think your program is for the entire county. So right. there was, when ranked as a full metro, Cincinnati was ranked 10th. In the nation, Louisville was seventh. That was according to Statista. Are eviction issues bigger in the city proper or elsewhere in the county?
Yeah, let me just say one thing about the root causes of evictions. And part of it is that in Cincinnati, Hamilton County, there's a shortage of about 40,000 affordable housing units for people making under $25,000 a year. So that right there shows that people are already under a great deal of pressure. They're in apartments that they can't afford. Go ahead, Alpha, if you want to.
And just to add on to what Mark just said, I mean, for every 100 low-income family, there are only about 28 units of affordable housing available.
Okay, so. But my question was, are we seeing this as a bigger issue in the city proper, or is it spread out evenly across the county?
The eviction numbers from 2014 to 2017, based on a study that was conducted by University of Cincinnati, look at the county as a whole, including the city of Cincinnati.
So one of the great things about this project is it is focused in Hamilton County outside the city. And most of the people that come through CA are in the city. We've got some other programs that help people with rental assistance for city residents. So this is outside the city in the county. So our numbers that we're serving are not that big. But we're looking forward to getting out in the county with some of our partners in these presentations you're talking about, like the one tonight with the library and the YMCA.
Okay, so which parts of our community have been most negatively impacted by this high eviction rate?
Based on the UC study, I think Mount Airy had the highest eviction filing based on this study that was conducted. There are other neighborhoods with high eviction rate, including Winton Hills, Avondale, and West Walnut Hills. And there is some sort of a correlation between the ethnicity of the neighborhood. Areas that tend to be with a high percentage of African Americans tend to have a much higher eviction rate.
And that was my very next question. So you're talking about neighborhoods like Mount Airy, Avondale. I saw some lists that included Price Hill, East Price Hill. So what is it about those locations that make these residents more vulnerable to being evicted? Is it just the economics that are associated with a demographic?
I think we have to, that is part of the problem, but we have to look at the bigger picture too, like what is happening in Cincinnati. I mean, we have a lot of growth, a lot of redevelopment, and a lot of people are moving into these neighborhoods who are able to pay a much higher rent than low-income families. So the cost of rent is going up. Now, Cincinnati is not an extremely unaffordable city, but for the low-income family, it is not very affordable. So the rent goes up, the shortage of affordable housing. And people have to make decisions between, am I going to pay my rent, or am I going to use this money to pay for medical expense, or am I going to use this money to get to work to put gas in my car? And I think based on a study that was conducted by Xavier University, the lowest income families spend about more than 30% of their income on living expenses, 30 to 50%. That's a very high number. And if you have to, after you pay rent, and if there's not enough left to take care of your family, that is an issue. And I have clients who have to make that judgment call every day. Am I going to make the rent, or am I going to pay for food, or am I going to pay for transportation, or am I going to pay for my medical appointment? So these are the factors that influence evictions that may lead to a tenant missing their first month or two on rent. But that is what this program is about. For those tenants who we say, okay, you have an issue, all right? You miss your rent the first time, but you have a job. You have the ability to continue working. Just because you missed the first month of rent, you shouldn't be necessarily evicted for it. That's why the program is there, to provide that extra help in the event that happens. If the tenant is eligible, they are eligible for up to, I believe, $2,000 to help the tenant pay the back rent. And if there are legitimate fees, we will pay off those fees and help the tenant get back on track. Now, there is a caveat. The tenant has to prove that they can pay their rent going forward. That is, they have a job, or they have a reasonable expectation of unemployment. That is, if they have a job offer from an employer saying, hey, we're going to hire you in a couple of months. And so that is the gist of this program. We are trying to prevent the eviction from even being filed. And if you have an affordable housing crisis, We can't set more people out of their properties. We need to be thinking about ways on how we can keep people in their homes, in the homes that we have right now.
Are you finding significant numbers of renters who are facing eviction because their rent had been increased?
I'm just going to speak to my case specifically. In situation where a tenant has a subsidy, a housing voucher, let's say a Section 8 tenant with a housing voucher have a certain amount of rent that they have to pay every month, okay? Now, with the cost of rent going up, the landlords are becoming more and more selective. They can choose whether, am I going to accept a tenant on a Section 8 voucher, or am I going to just accept a regular, you know, rent-paying tenant who's willing and available and able to pay their hard rent. So you have cases where low-income families have a housing voucher, can't even afford to pay for their apartment, but they can't find their apartment because, one, landlord are less likely to rent to someone on Section 8 vouchers. So there are cases where, I mean, the increased cost of rent is making it difficult for low-income families to afford housing.
Okay, so the two organizations, Legal Aid and the Community Action Commission, got together. When did you decide that something needed to be done?
Well, I think it was last year we got together, and we had a similar program like this when I was working at Legal Aid with emergency mortgage assistance. So the idea of combining rental assistance with legal representation worked really well for emergency mortgage assistance, and we thought that we could do the same thing with rental assistance. The idea that you're a lot better off if you're in court and with a lawyer than without. 99% of tenants lose their cases, and only about 2 or 3% have attorneys, whereas 80% of landlords do. And, you know, it's interesting. When you go into court, it's not like on TV. You have about 45 seconds for a hearing. There's about 6 questions that the landlord gets asked, and then it's the question is, are you behind on your rent? Yes. Well, then you've probably got 10 days to leave. And it's super quick, and you really don't get to present a case.
That's the whole process?
That's pretty much it. Yeah. And it's just a whole bunch of people in that courtroom. It's a cattle call. They're all set for 9 o'clock, and it just rolls. About 45 seconds is about all you get.
And if you're behind on your rent, then you kind of default to lose?
If you don't have an attorney, yeah. So Alpha alluded earlier to defenses, and one of them that doesn't get brought up if you don't know about it, but if you've paid your rent late on a consistent basis, your landlord's agreed to that, and then you pay late and he tries to evict you or she tries to evict you, you've got a pattern in practice. And so that kind of stuff never gets raised if you're by yourself without a lawyer. So it really makes a difference.
And so these are the types of issues you're going to be covering in these information sessions. The next one is this evening, Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Norwood YMCA. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100. We will be continuing in just a moment. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A new program launched by two local agencies aims to keep more people in their homes rather than to see them be evicted. To discuss the Eviction Prevention Assistance Program, we are joined by Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Agency President and CEO Mark Lawson and Legal Aid Society of Southwest Ohio staff attorney Alpha Taylor. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and your tweets and try to get some of those into the show. We got an email from Steve. He's wondering whether the ration of renters to owners in Cincinnati contributes to the higher number of evictions here. Apparently, it's roughly 70% renter to 30% owners. I mean, do we see a higher number of evictions because we have a higher number of renters?
I don't think that's actually the right stat. I think it's 42.3% renters in Hamilton County. So,
well, that's countywide.
Oh, countywide,
I wonder if the
yeah.
city might be a
yeah,
little
I mean,
bit different.
I mean, I think that's probably true.
I don't have the source for that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that could be it. Yeah, that's why the numbers are so big, maybe. You know, that's what hopefully our program is going to address, is to, you know, lessen the amount of people that are facing eviction.
The program that you're having tonight, where you're informing people about their rights as renters and what they can do if they face the eviction process, this will be the second one that, yes. that you've had. I wonder, have you seen any early results? I know this is a national program, but what are you seeing in terms of results so far?
The program was just recently launched, and we've been making progress. Last week, I met a single father who lost his job over the summer because he had to stay home to take care of his children. And he fell behind on his rent. He was about 2 months behind, and he got a notice to leave the premises from his landlord. And in that process, he also got a job offer. Now, he has shown that he can pay his rent going forward because he has a job offer and he has a start date. But he cannot pay the back rent with the late fees. And it was lucky for him that he met us at one of our information section, and we were able to get him the help that he needs. And we are working with the tenant and the landlord to get the back rent paid and keep him and his family in his home. And I mean, CAA has been making progress. Legal Aid has been making progress in the litigation-wise. I've actually been in court with tenants who are benefiting from this program, where we are able to deposit money with the court and negotiate settlements with landlords. Because this program, you got to think about it like this: it is a win-win for both the landlord and the tenant. The tenant, on the other hand, is back on rent. What the landlord wants? Landlord wants the rent to be paid. And we're saying for eligible tenants who can show that they can pay their own rent going forward, we're going to provide the assistance. So the tenant gets to stay in the home and the landlord also get the rent that was, you know, not paid through a pretty reasonable amount of time, within a reasonable amount of time.
What does an eviction do to a prospective tenant's future possibilities at getting an apartment?
It becomes very hard to get an apartment. It's a big knock on your record, and landlords always look up the clerk of courts to see if you've had an eviction filed against you. You may have even won the eviction, but it still sits there, and there's a process to get it removed, but it's difficult. But yeah, it's very hard, and that's why we're trying to prevent even those evictions getting filed. So once you get the notice, we can step in and give the money then before it actually gets filed in court.
And where does the money come from?
CDBG money, Community Development Block Grant money from the federal government. Pass through the states.
And so then you're able to have a certain amount. Now, do these tenants that use this resource, do they have to pay you back?
No. Our services that we provide, the tenant don't have to pay anything. Legal aid services are completely free for based on our tenant income. So we
so
don't charge
I imagine
anything.
Then that you're hoping that this is a program that is able to receive continued funding from similar grants moving forward.
Yes, that is the hope. I mean, because the only way we can address this affordable housing crisis is to first keep the people that have homes right now in their homes. And I don't want us to get lost in the data. We have to look at this as families. There are 50,000. There were 50,000 evictions, about 50,000 evictions filed from 2014 to 2017. That's 50,000 families. That is a mother or father with kids in the home. So if the parent gets evicted, the kids also get evicted with the parent. And at the same time, when Mark was talking about the effect of an eviction, I mean, it costs the landlord's money to file the eviction in the first place, okay? Now, the effects on the tenant last more than months and sometimes even years after the rate is issued. You can't find an apartment to rent. And even if you win the eviction and the filing of the eviction is on your record, landlord are not willing to take the risk of a tenant that have an eviction filed. And part of this program is that if we have a landlord who's saying, yes, I'm willing to accept the funding from the program, the back rent to be paid, we'll work with the landlord to negotiate an agreement where the landlord and the tenant can agree to remove record of the eviction from the internet so that the tenant is not forever marked or scarred by an eviction filing.
Let's go to the phone lines, 513-419-7100. Audrey is on the line. Hi, Audrey. What's your question or comment?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. My question is from the landlord's perspective. My father is a landlord, and I know as he's getting older, it's harder and harder for him to want to evict anybody, of course. And I'm more worried about him getting, you know, taken advantage. But this sounds like a great program. How could he reach out to the program and get this help to be able to guide his tenants in these situations to take advantage of something like this?
All right, Audrey, we appreciate the call. We'll hang up and let our guest address that question. So from the landlord's perspective, what role can they play in learning from your program?
Yeah, well, they can certainly refer their tenants to either of our agencies. So CAA is 569-1840, and Legal Aid is 241-9400. And they can come either direction, and they can get the help they need.
Well, we've got links to this information at wvxu.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. Because I guess kind of what you're saying is that landlords don't want to go through the eviction process either. They just want to get their monthly rent.
Yes. As I stated earlier, eviction is costly for the landlord. It's not free to file an eviction. And I would assume the good landlords that are out there are not going to want to go through that process if there is an alternative, if there is a way where they can get the rent paid.
When we talk about lacking 40,000 affordable housing units in this county, that's a pretty significant number. We talk about new developments coming to town and new apartment buildings coming to town that have 150 units in it. That's nothing. And they tend not to be on the affordable side when they're new. What's going to be done to address that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I always say there's sort of a tale of two cities here. There's great things going on in OTR. There's great development, but as part of that, you've got to set aside a lot of those units for to be affordable for folks. And that's really the only way is to you know, get the developers to buy in to the idea that people are having to be moved out of neighborhoods. Instead, let's keep them there in affordable places. And that's really the answer, but got a way to go.
Well, we do see some really nice units coming online. I'm wondering if you're seeing tenants be evicted from their apartments because they can no longer afford what had been a pretty standard unit that maybe is now next to something that's newer, raising the property values in the region and then impacting those rental units directly. Are you seeing that at all?
What we see is for a scenario where a tenant has been living in a property for, let's say, 1 to 2 years and redevelopment happens in the neighborhood and the tenant is looking to stay in the property, especially if the tenant have a Section 8 voucher, the landlord is going to say, we're no longer going to accept your voucher. Now, without the voucher, the tenant cannot afford the unit, and the tenant will either have to move out or the landlord is going to file the eviction. And when the tenant moves out, the landlord is going to move a tenant who can pay the rent without a housing voucher and will have more stable income to pay the rent going forward.
There was a report out of a group associated with the University of Cincinnati that had some recommendations on how the city can also help more in this arena. One of the suggestions was a just cause eviction ordinance. I'm wondering if either of you can help me understand what that is.
Well, just cause meaning that, I mean, currently, if a tenant is on a month-to-month tenancy and the landlord or the tenant can give a notice, say, I just want the property back, they don't have to give a specific reason as to why they want the property back or why the landlord wants the property back. So just cause will at least put a reasonable barrier where the landlord have to give a justifiable reason as to why they want the tenant out of the property. And I think that will help the tenants, you know, in the long run, will provide proper procedure for tenants. Now, even if we have the just cause issue resolved, we also have to help the tenants get legal representation. As these studies have shown, having an attorney in court makes a difference. It made a difference for the landlords about 99% of the time. And about those tenants who did not have an attorney, they were evicted, most likely, in those cases. So having an attorney present matters. Taking steps towards just cause eviction matters. And also trying to address the issue matters. I mean, the first step to solving a problem is recognizing that there is a problem. And here, from what I understand, is that we as a community have recognized that, hey, we have a problem and we are taking steps to address that problem. And the eviction prevention program is a step in the right direction. Now, there are many things that can be done. We are not there yet, but we are at least moving in the right direction.
And Alpha, you're an attorney with Legal Aid.
Yes.
So is this something that you can't get a public defender for example?
No, you can't get a public defender for civil matters. You can get a public defender in a criminal case.
Only in criminal court.
Yes, but not in a civil case.
So then what does your organization need to do better, I guess, in connecting with the constituency that would benefit from your services if they don't even know that they can come to you for this?
I mean, we have our information available online. We have our information at various public areas like libraries and things like that. But think about it. We are already doing enough. I mean, we represent about, let's say, 3% of the tenants. We have staff, but we need more to be done to fight this eviction problem. And Legal Aid alone cannot do it. Just there are things that have to be done. We need city leaders. We need county leaders to get involved and try to address this issue head on.
It's called the Eviction Prevention Assistance Program. The next event is this evening, Monday evening, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Norwood YMCA. I want to give my thanks to Mark Lawson from the Cincinnati Hamilton County Community Action Commission and also to Alpha Alpha Taylor from the Legal Aid Society of Southwest Ohio. Appreciate your time very much.
Thanks so much for having us.
Again, more details at WVXU.org. Up next, we talk to the NPR math guy, Keith Devlin. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.
You
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.